things that we talked about on Thursday, because these things are very important that we know them. They're very important that we live by them, because it will make a lot of difference, especially as we're getting ready for 2020. Things must not be the same. Things must not be the same. There has to be improvement. There has to be changes. And the thing that brings changes is knowledge. You don't change when you are using the same key that you are using. A change comes when there is a new key that you've learned to use. When there's something you've learned, we improve by knowledge. So change must come. But change don't come to people who are ignorant, even in the natural. Amen? I said amen. Church, I said amen. Even in the natural. I have a car that I'm using, and I didn't know how to set the mirrors. So every morning I'll be struggling with setting the mirror. After setting the mirror, the car will change my mirror for me. Struggled for a month until I saw somebody who knows how to set the mirror. In 1 second, the mirror was set. And I said, and I've been carrying this now for 1 month. I mean, every time I back up, the car will fold the mirror for me. Then when I go forward, it will put it the way the computer fixed it. And because I'm a very tall man, so let me tell you the truth of the matter. You don't improve with ignorance. I don't care what you're talking about. You will never improve with ignorance. It is knowledge that moves you forward. Knowledge is power. The same thing with spiritual knowledge. It is power. And as you are seated here, the Lord will give you knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm talking about having an accurate knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the love of God. The accurate knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the love of God. Can we bow our heads to pray? Father, we are so grateful that we are here this morning, trusting you that, Lord, you will give us knowledge. You will help us to get wisdom. It is wisdom that will promote us in life. It is wisdom that will protect us from all the destructive deceit of the enemy who is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy us. Wisdom will preserve us. Wisdom will put a crown of glory on our heads. It is through wisdom that a king reigns, and we are kings and princesses on earth. Trust you, Lord, this morning to impact your wisdom in each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I want you to listen to me. Many of you have been Christians for many, many years, but I'm sure at this point you want it reemphasized, because this is the bottom line of all of these things. All this going to church, I've been a Christian 20 years, 100 years, 200 years. Awesome, awesome, awesome. But I want you to hear me out this morning, that the goal of everything, please hear me, I'm not joking. The goal of everything is to love God. To love God. We talk about the love of God for us, which is wonderful. It's amazing, which is true. But that's one side of the coin. You don't buy something with only one side of the coin. You have to have two sides of the same coin. That God loves us is a fact. It's true. That's amazing. But that we too should love God is what makes this coin complete. We hear a lot about the love of God for us, the grace of God, but we don't hear too much about we loving God. But that's what makes the coin complete. That makes it complete. That's God's purpose for you and me, is that we end up loving him with the same love he loves us. And because of that, that love will offshoot, and you'll see it in a while, for us to love people too. Because that's what fulfills the will of God. That's what fulfills the purpose of God. That you love God and that you love man. But what brings you to that point is that you know the love of God for you. Otherwise, you'll be living with half coin. Jesus lost me, or lost me. You have full goose pimples, and they sing about it all the time. Even John Children Church, Jesus lost me, this I know. It's wonderful. But that thing should lead you to also loving God and loving man. And let me tell you the second point. which I'm going to touch on today, is that that love of God you have is the raw foundation upon which your faith rests, if you want to receive from God all the time. You got to rest on the love of God. And the love of God is Christ Jesus himself, a manifestation. Can I hear amen? Amen. In 1 Timothy 1, 5, I'm reading Amplified, whereas the object and purpose of our instruction, the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is what? It's love. The object and purpose of what we teach you, that's what Paul is saying. Everything we teach you, the object and purpose of all of that is love, which springs from a pure heart, a good and clear conscience, and a sincere, unfeigned faith. Now look at the next verse. But certain individuals have missed the mark on this very matter and wandered away into vain arguments and discussions and purposeless talk. He says some people have missed this mark. They have missed this purpose. And they've gone into things that are worthless, that is not worth anything. What God's purpose is this, they veered into religion, talking all manner of stuff. Paul described it as purposeless talk. Because the purpose of God, the instructions, is to bring us to love. And so, you look at what Jesus answered them in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers, I'm reading New Living Translation, Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized what Jesus had answered. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important of them all? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. See how God starts this thing. He didn't say the most important commandment is this. No. He said, listen, which means this is key and important. Listen, O Israel. We are the Israel of now, the church of the living God. The Holy Spirit says, listen, O Israel. What I'm telling you is important. Listen, O Israel. People missed the point and they started talking purposeless stuff. He said, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? The one and only God. What he's emphasizing is that you can't get any instruction from any other source except what God is telling you. Because there is no other God but him. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Can you read with me? With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Let's read it again. You must love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as what? As yourself. No other commandment is greater than this. This is the Lord Jesus talking to Israel. Listen. Listen. He says, you don't have any other thing. He said, you miss this point, you're talking purposelessly. This is where it's all going to. This is why it's all headed. Oh yeah, God loves us. Amazing. Yes, but you must understand that that is a vehicle that takes you to your final destination where you love God with all your heart and you love man like you love yourself. And you know, that's what identifies the Christian, actually. Look, praying is important, fasting is important, all these things are important. None of them identify the Christian. None. You can sleep in fellowship hall, that's okay. It doesn't identify you as a Christian. You know, I was discussing with Pastor, I read a scripture where the Lord said something. He said, nobody that does miracle in my name will speak evil of me easily. I wrote it down. I said, Lord, but you said somewhere. And I wrote both of them, and I brought it before him. I said, Lord, you said somewhere that some people will come to you in the last day and say, we did miracle what? I said, but you told us that you said to those people, I never knew you. I said, but they did miracle in your name. But here you said that nobody that does miracle in your name will speak of you evil of you easily. Say yes. He said, dude, why don't you read that scripture properly and see what I said? What I said to them is that I never knew you. I never was part of your miracle. He said, I never knew you, miss. I've never had anything to do with you and your miracle. He said, go and read it now. Read your Bible. That's what he told me. And I went back, that's what he said. He said, I never knew you, miss. I've never had anything to do with you. All those miracles, not me. He said, because if you do miracle in my name, really, you will leave my life. And he told me something. He said, what did I tell you people? By their fruits shall know them. I never told you to know them by miracles. You people made up all of that. I told you how to know a Christian. It's not by miracles. It's not by crowd. It's not by oratory. People preach with oratory. This is a powerful oratory. Who are, what they call them?
Charismatic.
Not only charismatic, they preach this encouragement message. What do they call that kind of thing? Huh? Motivational speakers. And Paul said to the church, he said, when I speak trembling. He said, I don't come with you with oratory. I don't come with you with human power. He said, it's good, I don't know how to preach. He said, so you see that this is the power of God. So your faith will not be on men, but what? On the power. But check the church today. It's men they trust. Tell the truth. The identity of the Christian is not all of that. Let me tell you something. You see, from January, God gave me something we talk about, and we got to talk about it. We're going to clean house. Can I hear amen?
Yeah.
It won't be church as usual. The house will be cleaned up. Because we're carrying a lot of garbage along. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look, I told them on Wednesday, I said, if God is God, let's worship him. If he's not God, let's stop. Man, let's stop. Let's stop. Can't be in between and doing all this kind of stuff. What? The identity of the Christian is what the scripture says right here. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not, what? Knoweth not God. The purpose of all instruction is to bring you to where you love God. And the Bible says, if you are not in that purpose, if you are not in that direction, you are purposeless. You are out of sync with God. Because he said, then he that loveth not, he that loveth not, what? Doesn't know God. For, what can you put it in simple English? He said, he that doesn't love is not a Christian. He doesn't know God. Somebody who doesn't know God is not a Christian. I didn't say that. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit who knows everybody. The purpose of all instruction is love. The purpose is love. That's where it's headed. We talk about the grace of God and the love of God, but I'm telling you that this must shift us to where God says this leads us to. Look at John 13, 34. John 13:34. A new commandment I what? Give unto you. That you love one another. As I have loved. Did you see that Jesus called it new commandment? Remember, this commandment has been there. Because Jesus quoted it from the Old Testament. So why is the law saying it's new? Why did they call it a new commandment? But it has been there in the Old Testament. The new commandment is because Jesus came to set the standard of love and said, in the New Testament, you shall love the people as yourself. But in the New Testament, you love them as I have what? Loved. Because I've set you an example. Now. You know some people don't love themselves. Am I right? They don't love themselves. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as what? I've loved. If you read that chapter, you see where Jesus is saying, I have set an example for you to follow now. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then what did he say in verse 35? By this now shall all men what? Know that you are my disciples. If you pray a lot, if you senior pastor, that's not qualification for that. If you have love, one for what? He that does not love doesn't know God. The purpose of all commandment and instruction is that I and you will love God. With the same love that Jesus loves us. You miss that, you say you are talking purposeless talk. 1 Corinthians starting from verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gifts of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans, including all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move what? Mountains, but didn't love others, I would be what? Nothing. What is nothing? Zero. Worthless. God says there's no value for me. No value. Again, this is the Holy Spirit writing. Can't say we didn't hear this. Can't say we didn't hear this. And verse 3, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So you see where this thing is going. It's to love God and love people as he loves us. The Bible says that every Christian must know the love of God. It is mandatory for us to know Christ, who is the revelation of the love of God. Because that's how you come to love God. You come to love God and you come to love man by simply knowing the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. Let me repeat it again. There is nothing Moses brought us that reveals the love of God. You can't know the love of God through Moses. It's not possible. It's nothing. There's no sacrifice there. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's why God shut down the... And those of you who love Ten Commandments, try it and see how much you end up loving God. We want to pull you out of that thing. So you come to where God reveals his love for you. So when you know the love of God, it transforms you from inside out. Let me make a point here. Please listen to me. Love is the only thing that makes you do something willingly. Willingly. You don't have to be forced. And God says, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful... He doesn't want you coming to church first. The Sunday school teacher calling you all the time. Pushing you like wheelbarrow. God doesn't want that kind of thing. No. He wants us to do things inspired by the love we have for him. And that's what will make us to give him things willingly, come to church cheerfully, come to church, study your Bible willingly, relate with him willingly. And so the only way we can love God is to come to know his love. In 1 John 4:19, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him. Why? Because he first what? Loved. So if I don't first know his love for me, it's not possible that I will love him. That's again the scripture. We love him because he first loved us. Can we say it together? Can we say it louder? Now, look at what the scripture says, that every saint of God must know the love of God so that we can end up loving God. Ephesians 3:18. And may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. Power to understand as all God's people should. Every Christian, every believer should. All God's people should know the love of God, who is Christ Jesus. That's even where we started our Christianity. Let me repeat it. Jesus Christ is the revelation of divine love practically to mankind. He is the grace of God that brought us salvation. He is the love of God. He is the mercy of God on display. That's who he is. He is God, and God is love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should understand, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. That every Christian should know this. Should know this. Every Christian should know this. Now let's take an example of somebody who came again face to face with the love of God and see how it transformed her life into loving Jesus instantly. Instantly. Look at Luke chapter 7 from 36. I'm going to read all the way to 49. It's a lengthy stuff, but it will reveal something to us. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to her, to his home, and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman, well, a prostitute, somebody of low, they help me out here, low, how do you talk it in English? Yes, low self-esteem, but low in the society, it has low, yes, you know. So a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Let's continue. Then she knelt behind him at his what? Feet. What was she doing? Weeping, full of joy. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept on kissing his feet. Ah. Somebody in this church would have said, ushers, can you kick this man out? Then she kept kissing his feet. Brethren, when you kiss somebody's feet, you know, it's the dirtiest part of the body. They didn't have cars at that time. They would be kissing his feet continuously and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man now were a prophet, he would have what? Known. He would have known what kind of a woman is touching him. Now, this man wanted to identify Jesus as a prophet, but Jesus wanted to be identified as the love of God. Amen. See? This man said if he was a real prophet, but Jesus was the love of God that came to seek and to save the lost. That's what he is. So here he is. He said, if this man knew a prophet, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of a woman is a touching him. She's a sinner. Is anybody here who have voiced anybody in this church? You need help. You need to know Jesus. Because he never avoided anybody. Even the worst sinners, he went and embraced them. Even lepers, he touched them. Everything the Lord said you shouldn't do. The Lord banned people touching lepers. He touched them. He embraced them. He broke all the traditions. Because love will never fail. Love does not reject. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. So then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher. Simon replied. He knew him as teacher, but didn't know him as the love of God. So he said, then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people. 500 pieces of silver. Let's say $500, because that's what we understand now. Or we say 500 naira. You don't like naira, I'm telling you. Okay, $500. And another one, $50 to the other. 42. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave both of them. Forgave both of them. Canceling their what? Debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he counseled the larger debt. And Jesus said, that's right. Answer right. 45. Did we read 44? 44, please. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your house, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet. Remember that this is the feet that this woman is kissing. The dust off my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. 45. You didn't greet me with a kiss. But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins and their menu have been what? Forgiven. So she has shown me much love. How did she fall in love with Jesus? Because she saw the immensity of the love of God for her. Where did she say it? Her sins are many, but they were forgiven. Now, Simon sat there thinking she didn't have too many sins. So, what is he talking about forgiving me? A righteous, religious Pharisee who has obeyed the law from the beginning. But Jesus said, both of you are owing God, and you can't pay your debt for your sin. No man can pay for his life. Nobody. That's what Jesus was telling him. Then I tell you, her sins, and there are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiving little shows what? Little. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven you. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Where did she find the love of God? Where? Why did she say it? Why did she say it? In the forgiveness that were given her freely. She was crying. Nobody in that city accepted her. Nobody counted her as anything except Jesus. Nobody gave her a chance in life. Nobody. Nobody came near her. She wasn't supposed to come into the meeting of anybody. Go and read the law and see where she stood. And here somebody came and accepted her and said, hey, your sins are what? I'm restoring you to glory and honor so you can be in the company of people again. You are no more an outcast. She couldn't stop crying. She couldn't stop loving Jesus. And she brought a very powerful perfume. Now, let me tell you something, brethren. Do you know in the cultures of African cultures, when a woman has a tragedy, what do they do is to shave her what? Signifying that her glory is gone. This woman went to the feet of Jesus and laid down her glory, her hair. She used a woman's glory to wipe his feet. That's what love does. You can't do it by 10 commandments. Love began to move her. Love began to control her. She took her hair, my brethren, the glory of a woman, and took it to rub the dirtiest part of Jesus' feet, brethren, and brought the costliest perfume she could afford and poured it on Jesus. Thou shalt love the Lord what? That God. With all. The Bible said that's where this is going. She ended where God wanted her to be. But the other man, full of self-righteousness, didn't even love Jesus at all. There are people who go to church who don't love Jesus. People go to church and love Jesus. And look at the same thing that the scripture is showing us. 1 John 3:16. Look at the first church. We know what real love is. Because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers. That's the church talking. We know what real love is. How did they know this real love? In chapter 4 of the same faith, John, see what the scripture says. In this is love now, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The same thing this woman saw is what these people saw in Christ. They saw it on the cross, that their sins were forgiven, that God sent Jesus to bring forgiveness of sins for them. They saw God's love in forgiving their many, many sins. And they say, we now know what real love is. We know what real love is. In this real love, we discovered it. Not that we love God. It's unmerited. We didn't do anything for this. You know, we say these things all the time, but the revelation of it is different. To know it is not like talking it. No, 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 no. Because this woman saw something the Pharisee didn't see. And the scripture said, we know the real love of God here. We've seen it. We have come to know it. The Bible said that all saints should know it. Should know it. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We didn't love God. We are not in. We were like this prostitute. But have we seen what she saw? If you see what she saw, will change your heart. You go to the feet of Jesus and lay down your glory. All that toto gaga and I'm this, I'm that, they will die. Somebody shout hallelujah. They will die. You won't have mouth to condemn another person again. Because all that, if you were a prophet, you should have known, the thing will die. See how? When you love God, you love people. Amen? I said amen. Romans 5 from verse 9. I want to read from verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Okay, we read it before. But verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then in 2 Corinthians 5, 14, Paul summed it up like this. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Look up here, let me tell you something. You know, in the natural love, which is fickle, natural love is worthless, it's fickle. Human love is, don't worry about it. Because they love today, tomorrow is hatred. But let's just use it as an example. If you really love somebody, that love you have for that person will move everything you do. Am I telling lies? Eh? You move how you respond to the person. You move what you give to the person. You move the sacrifice you are prepared to make. In fact, if you love the person, there's no sacrifice. Anything you do, you enjoy it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. If you go to marry her and they say dowry is 10,000, you go and borrow it because you love her. Nothing is too much. Love knows no sacrifice. Love knows no murmuring, no complaining. Love knows none of that. I'm talking of naturally loving something. And number two, if you love something, you enjoy doing it. If you don't love something and you do it, it becomes a chore. You complain a lot. If you are doing a job you don't love, you'll be complaining every day. But if you are doing a job you love, you can't wait to go there. If this is right, shout hallelujah. You can't wait to go there. You can't wait to go there. If you love Jesus. You know, Kumu said something when I was a new Christian. I didn't understand what he was saying. But now I do. You know, when your pastors tell you some things, if you don't understand it, keep quiet. Keep growing. You come to a point where you understand what they're saying. Some things that Kumu said, it's making sense to me. I tell my wife, I say, is he not what this man was saying then? But then we criticize him. Cho mouth. But now it's making sense that he was right. He said, I come to church and I have 7 services. I don't know when they pass. He said, some people come and they're struggling with one. I didn't know what he was talking about. But now I see why. Because he loved Jesus a lot. When you love somebody, communication is endless. you enjoy the company of that person. That's why you want to marry them and spend your life with them. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. So this is what Paul said. He said in 1 Corinthians 5:14, he said, either way, Christ's love controls us. Christ's love now controls us. Now somebody said, if you don't give the Lord, people will do what they like. No, it's the love of God that should control people. Can I hear amen? No, it's not 10 commandments. No, it is the love of God that should what? Control people. And if the love of God controls you, you will not do evil. For love does not do evil to his neighbor. Can't do evil. Can't do evil. Praise the Lord. Now, in Acts 21, verse 13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See what love does? You see what love does? It brings you to a place of sacrifice. You are prepared to do anything for Jesus Christ. Anything for Jesus Christ. There is nothing, anything about Jesus, you are prepared to pay any price. That's why the Bible says that God wants us to love him with all our heart and with all our strength. And then the offshoot is to love man as he loved us. Now, how does it even work that I should be able to love somebody because God loves me? Let me tell you how it works. You know, the truth you believe in is what works for you. Am I right? The truth you know is what works for you. The day you begin to know the love of God and believe in it, that same love will start activating your life. It's the truth you know that works. The truth you don't know is not going to work. It's not going to. The same thing with healing and all these things. If you don't know those, you forget it. It is the, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are really my disciples. It is then as you continue. I keep saying it from this pulpit. You don't know the truth because you came to church. Oh, there's a continuing. There's a continued seeking. There's a continued pursuing of that truth that convinces God that this is important to you. There's a continuing that you must do. There is a continuing. If you continue. Can you say it with me? If you continue. Say it with me now. That's where people fall off. Because there's no continuing. They come to church, hear someone go, forget it. They watch CNN, watch Fox News, watch all these things. And these people pollute. Why were it? Let me warn you as a church. Don't let these television people destroy your life. Let me tell you. I don't like bitterness because I don't like hospital. I don't want to be sick. So nobody, I won't let you plant bitterness in my heart because whether it's political bitterness or whatever bitterness is, it will do the same thing. I'm warning you now because the Lord said to you, say, warn them all. You sit up there and soaking up all this thing that makes you angry, makes you this. What do you think you are doing to yourself? What do you think you are doing to yourself? So, it's the truth you know that sets you free. It's the truth you know. When you know the love of God, that God loves you, that truth you know begins to activate in your life and also begins to make you to love others. But if you don't know that, if you are blinded to it, that's why the scripture says that if the scripture is not seen or revealed, it is in those who the God of this world has blinded their eyes. The devil wants to blind you to the love of God. Completely blind you from it. But that's what will change your life. That's what will transform your life. That's what will make you love others. Exactly like God loved them. Now the part two of this thing is that you have to base your faith on the love of God or it will not work. You cannot have active faith when you don't understand the basis of that faith. And the basis of that faith is God's love. Let me repeat it. You cannot have an active faith. You can't even have a living faith except you understand the love of God. It's not going to work. Because the Bible says that faith works through love. Faith works through love. Can you say it with me? I want to hear you. Come on. Faith works through love. Which means if you extract love out of faith, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. is not going to work. For God so loved the world that he gave. So the basis of giving is God's love. And if I want to trust God for what he gives me, then I trust God and trust his love. Because it is that love that makes God give me. Nothing else. Now, look up here. Let me tell you something. The day in your life, you don't understand this. You will think it's your arm that made God do it. You will think it's your prayer, your this. There are wonderful things. You think it's your this, you think it's your that, and see what it does. Brethren, listen to me. When you begin to base God's manifestations in your life on you, look at what it does. You'll learn to do without God. I said it here on Thursday. I said, people do church without Jesus. Christians have learned to live without Jesus. Why? Abba, their arm gets it for them. And so, as long as the money is rolling in, the jobs are there, send them money home, they can do without Jesus. I'm telling you. Yeah. I was sharing with, I think, Pastor Victor. I said, churches have learned to do without Jesus. Because there are committees that plan the church now. They put people that are talented. Jesus has no say in what they do. Because they've learned to do it without him. My hand has what? Got it for me. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Why do you think that you tell somebody, my brother, my sister, this is what the scripture says. It says, bet. Bet what? Why? Because he can do without Christ. He's learned. You know, human beings are smart. We are really, really smart. We found a way to circumvent God. I'm telling you the truth. We found a way to do without him. And we enjoy it. We enjoy it. But when you know, listen to me, when you know that your life depends on his love, you grow in faith in him. You tap onto him like taproot. You hold on to him with all your strength. For without him, you can do nothing. You can't try to live without him. You want him to instruct you. You want to hear what he needs, what he has to say about this. You want to know where he is in this thing. Because you know that you depend on his love. You don't depend on anything else. But if you find a way around him, it's a dangerous place to be. Your faith will die. Your love for him will die. Your love for him will go cold. Because what makes that love fire it up all the time is that you see his love for you every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And seeing his love for you makes you trust him more and more. Am I communicating? If you heard me, shout hallelujah. You got to get out of that position where you think it's me. It's me. You know, I had a situation where I was trusting God for healing. I quoted the scripture and everything. Nothing was getting better. And the Lord told me, said, Dan, you are not going to be healed. I said, really? He said, no way. And then I said, why? He said, you are such a great faith man now that you found a way to move without me. He said, why is my love for you? He said, I'm healing you because of my love, not because of you. He said, the day you disconnect from my love, you disconnect from me. He said, that sickness is not going. Because you think it's because of your faith. And faith, yes, but faith based on his love. Can I hear amen? Faith, yes, but faith based what? On his love. For it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. It's of the Lord's mercy we're not consumed. Totally. That's why we're not consumed. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. You know the blind Bartimaeus, he had Jesus passing. He said, Jesus, have mercy, what? And Jesus stood still. He stood still. Because the mercy of God will never fail. It doesn't fail. And then in 1 John 4:16, John 4:16, we know how much God loves us, and we have what? Put our trust where? His love. We know, first of all, you got to know it. Number two, you need to put your trust in his love. You say, why should I put my trust in his love? Luke 1:78. Luke 1:78. Because of God's tender mercy. Because of God's what? Tender mercy. What is happening? The morning light from heaven is about to break on us. He says, because of his tender mercy, that the morning light from heaven is about to break on us. The divine blessing is about to be unleashed on the world because of his tender mercy. John 1:16. John 1:16. For out of his fullness, out of his what? Fullness, out of his abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we are all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Where did it come? Out of his fullness, abundance. It is from him we got everything we have. Whatever you are praying for is coming through Christ. Everything is coming through him. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. And number two, he paid for all of it. He paid for all of it. He paid for all of it with his life, with his blood. He paid for all of it. For out of his fullness, everything we are getting is from his fullness. From his fullness. As a benefit from his mercy. That's why we're getting all this. He called this, he said we're getting all this grace after grace. Blessing after blessing. Favor after favor. Favor is unmerited. What is favor? What is favor? What is favor now? What is grace? Unmerited. It's wrong English to call favor unmerited favor. It's called tautology in English. It's wrong English. If you write it in grammar, you fail. Favor is not unmerited favor. Favor is favor. It is unmerited blessing. It is unmerited what? Blessing. To say unmerited favor is to repeat yourself. Because favor is on its own is unmerited. I don't know if you get my grammar. So you can't say grace is unmerited favor. No. Grace is unmerited blessing. Grace is the same thing as favor. Favor, grace, love, mercy, all of them are totally unmerited. Am I communicating to you? Have you gone home? Are you still here? If you are here, shout hallelujah. But you know some people don't want this kind of thing. So they don't want to hear it. Look at Romans 19, 30. I'm reading message. How can we sum up this? How can we sum this up? All those people who didn't seem interested, listen to this. They didn't seem interested in what God was doing. Actually embraced what God was doing as he straightened out our lives. Verse 31. And Israel, who seemed to be interested in reading and talking about what God was what doing, they missed out. How could they miss it? Because instead of trusting God, they took over. Instead of trusting God, they what? They took over. They were absorbed in what they themselves were doing. They were so absorbed in their God projects that they didn't notice God right in front of them. Like a huge rock in the middle of the road. And so they stumbled into him and went sprawling down. They were absorbed in their God project. You think it's because I've done Nivej. God project. It's because I've done this. They were absorbed in it. In 2019, people are absorbed in God project. They were absorbed in it. And because they're absorbed in God's project, they don't see Christ, who is the reason for the season. If you understand me, shout hallelujah. He said he's standing there before them. They don't see him. They stumble up over him because they were so absorbed in their God project. And if you're absorbed in your God project, how can you know the love of God, which is revealed in Christ only? Is it not when you come like that woman and realize that your sins were freely forgiven? And you realize that all that you have, God gave you freely because Jesus paid for it. Is it not when you begin to really love him? Because is it not when you begin to see how good God is? But if you think it's your God project that will bring you there, Jesus becomes irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. And you get more into that God project thing. You do it more and more. And the more and more you do it, the less you know God, the less you love God, the less Jesus is important to you. And he said, they talk about God. Go back to verse 32, 31. And Israel, who seemed to be interested in reading and talking about what God was what? Doing. They missed it. But in verse 32 now, how could they miss it? Because instead of trusting God, they took over themselves. They were absorbed in what they themselves were doing. They were so absorbed in their God what? Project. That they didn't even notice God right in front of them. And so that's why we must come back and begin to go and make it a goal, like the 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says. He said, make it your purpose in life. Make it your goal in life. Make it your goal in life. Make it your purpose. I must know the love of God in Christ Jesus, so that I've stopped depending on my God project and start depending on God's own project. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, enter my rest. Come and enter my rest. Stop in your God project. Let me depend on the project that God has done, who is Christ himself. And then nobody that trusts in him will be put to what? To shame. When you put your faith squarely on Christ and his love, you will never fail. It's not possible. It is impossible. It is totally impossible. I tell the devil, I say, does a man get pregnant? No, it's not possible. Because God's love is so reliable. It's as reliable as God is love. It's so reliable. I don't care what, I've seen God do incredible things. When people gave up all hope. When people gave up what? Oh, I've seen God. Like, you think his joke is going higher and higher. Higher and higher, higher and higher. And you can't pin it to anything you did except what Christ did. Church, we need to do a very serious change, paradigm shift in 2020. When you do this, listen to me, all this stress and things will leave your life. I'm not kidding you. You see God every day. You see that Jesus has always been there. He has always been there. He says, look, that you enter water doesn't mean he's not there. That you enter fire doesn't mean he's not there. He said, I'll follow you to doctor's operation theater. I'll be there with you. I asked somebody yesterday, I said, what do you think Jesus is doing in your life? You were looking at me. If you put in your house, it's a visitor. It's not a visitor. He's not a visitor. He's your healer. He's your helper. He's your provider. He's your strength. He's your hope of glory. He's your all. And once you have him, you're good to go. And you have him. He said, my mercy will never depart from you. He didn't say, he said my mercy, because it is of the Lord's mercy that we are. When you kneel down to pray, remember that it is his mercy. Humble yourself and destroy all your personal God projects and lift Jesus high. That's all you need to do. You know, the Bible says, only believe and you shall see the glory of God. What does it mean to see the glory of God? Tell me. What does it mean to see the glory of God? Huh? See God at work. What does it mean to see the glory of God? Huh? To see what is done on earth. What does it mean to see the glory of God? Manifestation of God. What does it mean to see the glory of God? See his splendor.
His favor in our lives.
Favor in our lives. Look up here. Let me tell you what it means. To see the glory of God is that God will reveal Jesus in your life. That's what the glory of God means. Jesus is the glory of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus is the glory of God. If you trust in his mercy, God will reveal Jesus as a healer. Amen. And people will say, wow. Come and see what the Lord has done. You know, Peter said that. He said, why are you looking at us as if to say it is our project? It's not our God project. It's not our power. It's not our holiness. It's not our God project. He says, God is glorifying his son. He's revealing the glory of Jesus that is a healer. So that the world will believe and be saved. That's where all of this thing is going. Jesus reveals his glory. God reveals Jesus in you and in me. Why? So your neighbors will see. And they are saved. It is not the will of God that any... It boils down to the gospel. He didn't die in vain. He wants everybody to see Jesus. And because unless they see, they don't believe, he will heal you before their eyes. Somebody shout hallelujah. He will heal you what? Before the heathens. He will provide for you when you have not, when you have gone, when things have gone so south, everybody is talking about you, then he's ready to come. When Lazarus is smelling, everybody has bad news. The doctors have bad news. Everything has gone south. Jesus said, only believe and you will see. He shows up. Because if he doesn't show, if he doesn't wait for everything to decay, they will find scientific reason. He will show up. Why is he showing up? For God so loved. He wants them to see. And the Bible says, Jesus said that when you pray that God will do this thing so the Father is glorified in the Son. That when the Son is being glorified, the Father is also, and who else? The church.
Hallelujah.
The church, the body of Christ. So they follow you to church. Say, we're going to church with you. We see the glory of God. We see what God is doing. Follow you to church. That's all. You have no role to do. Your only role is only believe. The love of God will never fail us. And if you are here this morning, if you are here this morning and things look so bad, congratulations. Because that's when God shows up. Come, somebody shout hallelujah with me. Yeah. It looks so terrible. For many years they've been talking. Yeah. Time has come for God to reveal Jesus to them. All those people who talk, they will change their world.
Amen.
Can I hear amen?
Amen?
I want you to rise up with me.